WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House has rescinded the memo to freeze federal grants and loans. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi reads a portion of Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt's statement.
She said that in light of the injunction, the OMB rescinded the memo to end any confusion on the federal policy that Trump signed on an executive order memo.
Former Democratic U.S. Senator Bob Menendez is sentenced to 11 years in a federal bribery and corruption case. The judge telling him, somewhere along the way, you became, I'm sorry to say, a corrupt politician. Menendez saying, after learning his sentence,
this whole process has been nothing but a political witch hunt.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. faces his first confirmation hearing for Health and Human Services Secretary and is grilled on abortion and vaccines.
I believe that that vaccines play a critical role in health care.
RFK Jr. appears before the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions tomorrow. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are asking State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from their appeal to a recent ruling on Act 10. The ruling from a Dane County Circuit Court judge in December overturned most of the law as unconstitutional, saying it violated the equal protection guarantees in the state constitution. Justice Protasiewicz had regularly expressed her belief that Act 10 was unconstitutional when running for the seat in 2023. The Dane County ruling was put on hold pending the result of the Republican appeal. Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call have announced Wisconsin has joined a coalition of states filing a lawsuit to block a freeze on federal funding from the Trump administration. According to a press release, the coalition's lawsuit argues that President Trump does not have the authority to unilaterally override laws governing federal spending and called the policy unconstitutional. The pause was temporarily blocked by a federal judge on Tuesday night, and a hearing to consider the issue further has been scheduled for Monday. Some Chippewa Valley schools are advising parents on their immigration policies amid increased enforcement. The school district of the Menominee area and the Eau Claire area school district shared information on their policies this week, outlining their response in the event of immigration and customs enforcement officials showing up with a warrant. Both districts say they are not required to comply with the typical administrative ICE warrant, but may be required to if a warrant is signed by a federal judge or a U.S. magistrate is present. The Wisconsin State Patrol has announced an officer was hit by a vehicle driven by a suspect attempting to flee in Arcadia. Officials say they responded to reports of 47-year-old Michael Peterson allegedly yelling at people in the area of Blaschko Avenue and Sabata Street. When he refused to comply with officers, authorities say he attempted to flee and struck the state trooper with his vehicle before leading authorities on a 15-mile chase, reaching speeds of over 100 miles per hour. The trooper was treated for minor injuries. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Badgers and the Terrapins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers are at the University of Maryland tonight to take on the Terrapins, named after the Diamondback Terrapins, a small turtle found around Chesapeake Bay. It's been their mascot since 1933. Now, six of the Badgers' next eight games are on the road, but Greg Gard says it. No big deal.
We'll have some nice box meals for us, I'm sure, turn in when we fly to Maryland, stay in a good hotel, right? There's much more difficult things in life. I don't think it's a big deal. Go play. Where do they want us to play next? All right, we'll be there.
Number 9th ranked Marquette on the road last night, beating Butler 78-69. NBA, the Bucks losing again in Portland, 125-117. Milwaukee simply could not stop the Trailblazers.
I thought they got what they wanted all game, honestly. I never thought we established any kind of defensive presence throughout the game.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and warm tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny, record warmth possible tomorrow, high upper 40s. Mostly sunny as we look into Friday, a high in the upper 30s. And staying mild as we look into the weekend, maybe a rain or snow shower. Current temp is 30.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. the scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Hour number two starts now. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Conrad riding shotgun. Boy, it's always fun to have Frank in the studio. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just he's got such charisma, and I just find it, he's just always a great guest and a good guy. So.
And I don't even think we asked him like to play a song originally, but he always does it. It's great.
Yeah, and I, you know, if he just wanted to swing by, that would be fine too, but it's always even better when he brings the guitar. So, our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of National Curmudgeon Day, it's a national holiday. Who is your favorite curmudgeon? Very simple. I said Larry David, but I would give Archie Bunker maybe a close second or a runner up for my curmudgeons. Someone said Walter Matthau. That was a great one from Grumpy Old Men. You could probably put Jack Lemmon in that category, too. Maybe George Costanza? Conrad said Debbie Downer. No, who did you say?
Mr. Heckles.
Mr. Heckles.
Mr. Heckles.
And then we both agreed Debbie Downer is a great.
Yes.
Just a great downer, if not a curmudgeon. Totally. So, and then Conrad's mom said Archie Bunker. But let us know who your favorite curmudgeon is. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're having fun with this one. Conrad's mom also mentioned Fred Sanford from Sanford and Son. Red Fox is a great curmudgeon. And there's a story I heard that he, at the end of his career, he got hired to play Vegas. There was a band that was hired to play him onto the stage that was supposed to play the theme song from Sanford and Son. They were hired to play that song when he took the stage. He would do his set, and he would leave, and they would play that song. That's all they were contracted for. Well, apparently, and I can't confirm this, but it's a great story either way, Fred Sanford went on stage, saw that there were 12 people in the audience, and just stood there and cursed for 10 seconds how there's only 10 people. And then he left, and the band started playing this theme from Sanford and Son. So you got the theme when he walked on. He cursed for 10 seconds, and then they played it when he walked off. I would have given anything to be there to witness that. Eric from Lodi says, Norman Fell, who played Mr. Roper, was one of the best curmudgeons. He was definitely a curmudgeon. That's a nice pull, Eric. I like that one. Annie from Watertown says, William Dafoe. So I had to watch, not disappointed. So Annie is talking about, I believe, the Florida Project. And I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I agree, Annie. I was amazed at what Sean Baker, the director, did with using primarily kids. And it was so real, the film. And it ended in a way I did not expect. And I loved it. It was just great. Highly recommend. Annie also says, how come I had to get Dad to co-sign for me in 1982? And the punk high school kid that worked for my dad for less money didn't need a co-signer. That's a great question, Annie. And so weird. Like when you think that just in 1974, which I get is like 50 years ago, more now, that women needed a co-signer. That blows my mind. That means my mom couldn't go in and buy a car in 1974 without my dad co-signing. It's insane. She says, yeah, those were the days. Damned feminists. Thank you for the text, Danny. Jameson in Pennsylvania says, Rob Swanson from Parks and Rec. That's a good one.
That got me thinking.
You like that show, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I was, would you put Creed as a curmudgeon?
Who?
Creed.
Oh, Creed.
From The Office.
Oh, he's just a psycho. But yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he could be.
He could fall in there. Jameson also says Dr. Cox on Scrubs. I'm not really familiar with Scrubs.
Yeah,
I've never really watched it that much.
I haven't either.
But great answers. Keep them coming. We love to get your texts. We'll read them on the radio. Who is your favorite curmudgeon? So, yeah, this movie Florida Project that I'll talk about with Ben when he's here at 7:20. We'll talk some movies, Oscar movies, and the Wisconsin Film Festival, which I'm very excited about, is right around the corner. He told me about, I had heard of Sean Baker. I hadn't seen any of his films. He's got a handful of them. But this Florida Project, I really enjoyed. And Willem Dafoe, it was just a different role for him. He always plays like this great thief like he did in To Live and Die in L.A. He was Green Goblin and Spider-Man. He's got such a unique look. I think people naturally label him the bad guy. But in this Florida Project, I just loved his character. And it was nice to see him doing a role. Not that he hasn't played good guys. He was great in Mississippi Burning. But it was really cool to see Willem Dafoe in this role. And the whole cast, really, it was just a really fun movie. So I'll bring that up to Ben, too, because he's the one that sort of alerted me to the film in the first place. And an even edgier actor, Tom Selleck.
Really?
I'll tell you, there are just certain celebrities I have respect for, even though I don't particularly like to. I find Tom Selleck lacking charisma. But you know what? In film, like he plays everything small, and that it works. I'm blown away by people who have more than one successful TV show. Ted Danson, forget about it. But like Tom Selleck has had, he's got these Jesse Stone movies, got the Blue Bloods, Magnum PI. He's just a bankable star. People love the guy. So Conrad loves the guy. Conrad loves his mustache. But we have Conrad went ahead and clipped these clips. I think, there's enough Tom Selleck fans out there. We got to pay a little respect here to the handsome stash. So talk about him. Play that interview with him from when he was on Friends. I want to hear part of that.
Yeah. So this is just Tom Selleck explaining his role and how he got to it.
Okay.
People talk to me about my role in Friends all the time. It was a lovely experience, something I didn't see coming. They just explained this idea. It had to make a leap of faith. They didn't have a script or anything, and I was supposed to do three shows. And on the third show with the table read, somebody said, oh, that's right, this is your last show. I wish you could come back. I said, well, nobody asked me. So that turned into nine shows, and it was a neat arc and a significant part of a show that I'm a big fan of. I'm glad I made a contribution. I would love to do another comedy. It's kind of on my list. The right kind of comedy. The thing Friends had, it made people laugh and cry. That emotional connection, I can't really do stand-up shtick or jokes. But if there's an emotional connection to the work, the comedy and the tragedy, Friends had that. And it's the kind of comedy I enjoy doing.
Boy, he sounded old there.
Yeah, he was not young in that.
I was not expecting the accompaniment either. I got to be honest. That music kind of was oddly placed.
Was
that you? Did you put down a score?
I could not get that out.
That was insane. And it was it sounded like he was like in his basement doing Zoom or something. So maybe you needed a little music or something.
You're not totally wrong there. He was in a room on Zoom doing an interview. But I really just liked the message behind it.
Yeah, I like it too. Hey, we have some fun guests still coming up this week. Tomorrow night, actor Rick Overton will be here from the movie Groundhog Day. We'll talk to Rick a little bit about his experience on the film, and he's going to do the popcorn pick of the week. Rick is an old stand-up friend. I don't know him well, but I've enjoyed when he's been on the show, and I'm so envious of him that he had the experience to be in Groundhog Day, one of my all-time favorite movies that I think is what I call one of those almost flawless movies. All the components, banging on all cylinders, music, acting, comedy, even the drama or the romance was well done. It was subtle and just perfect. I love the film. Rick will be here tomorrow night, and then we'll talk to Chris Opper and Kurt Krause, too, about the upcoming Door County Film Festival. So, and then, of course, Friday night is a bar band. Friday night, new music and sparkling conversation with Terry Barr. So we have a... Let's play that. I want you to play that Debbie Downer clip again, speaking of curmudgeons. And then let's do one more Tom Selleck clip before we bring Ben on.
It's official. I can't have children.
That's a comedy staple. That music is like so perfect. And then what else do we have? We have Tom Selleck from Friends, right?
Yeah, this is when the episode where Joey and Chandler hang out with him, like throughout the whole thing, and
where they idolize him,
and Chandler grows that really bad mustache.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yes.
Could that shot be any prettier?
Man, you are incredible.
Well, we had a table in college.
Oh, really? I didn't know they had foosball in the 1800s.
Nice mustache, by the way. When puberty hits, that thing's really going to kick in.
Honey, not to sound too Florence Henderson, but dinner's on the table.
Okay, just one more point.
See, that's why we don't let her play.
Is everything all right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, listen, don't be mad at him. It's our fault. I'm sorry we've been hogging so much of his time.
Yeah, he's just really great to hang out with.
Well.
No, seriously, Chandler and I were just talking about this. He is so much cooler than our dads. I mean, you know, our dads are okay and all, but Richard is just, ow, 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 what are you kicking me for?
Huh? You guys see me as a dad?
Oh, yeah.
No.
No.
You're just clearly not familiar with our young person's vernacular. See, when we say dad, we mean buddy. We mean pal.
Uh-huh, yeah.
No, seriously. Joey's my dad. Monica's my dad. I've even got some dads down at work.
That's fine. Well, your other dad and I are going to go have a romantic evening, and I guess I'll just see you kids around.
Nighty-night.
You're not a dad. You're not a dad.
Dad.
I think Tom Selleck, like, when he was on Friends and he and Monica were supposed to be romantic, well, they were romantically involved, it reminded me, I've been watching Cheers lately before I go to bed. It's like the perfect, put you in a good mood. And there's Diane, and when she starts dating Frasier, there's an episode where they kiss and people go, ooh. And at one point they kiss and the whole bar at the same time goes, ooh. Diane's like, what do you mean, ooh? And that's kind of how it was with Tom Selleck and Monica. Not because he was so much older than her. It was just, I don't know. Maybe I'm putting myself in Monica's shoes and I wouldn't kiss Tom Selleck. I don't know what it is.
There's that one episode where their parents find out and they get like the ick during that too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's weird. Lots of cool stuff. That thing you sent me yesterday about Timothée Chalamet, too, playing Bob Dylan tunes that weren't even in the movie. And now this one song, what was it called? I had it here. Tomorrow is a Long Time, is in the Apple Hot 100 or whatever. Yep. It is. Number 63. So Dylan's probably getting some checks. I think he should kick a little something to the Chalamanster. All right. Coming up next, folks, we're going to talk some movies, some Oscar movies, and we'll talk about the Wisconsin Film Festival with our pal Ben Reisel. Reisel could be better. That almost sounds better. I wonder if Ben would consider that. Ben Reiser, coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Question of the night. Who is your favorite curmudgeon? Bridget from the 818 says, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, the worst. Jim from Appleton says, Charles Emerson Winchester III. Is that the guy from MASH? Yeah, that's Winchester, I think. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Bridget. We have some more texts we'll get to soon. Right now, I want to bring my friend Ben Reiser on the show. He is one of the big dogs at the Wisconsin Film Festival. Operations manager, Ben? Is that... I never get your title 100% right, but I just know you're a big shot. Oh, no. Is that a bad thing? Seems like you have some clout. I get that. Hey, welcome, buddy. Okay. Yeah, director has some cachet. How you doing? Oh. You know, I had a sinus infection. Could I have gotten that from you over the stream? Is that possible? Okay. That's how good technology is. We can't, it can happen. Hey, so you've got. Who is Brother Theodore? Uh-oh. Oh. I kind of remember that. That's great. Oh, no. Loved Letterman. But I'm probably... Okay. Hey, I want to thank you. The last time you were on the show, I had not seen Anora yet. I still haven't. I almost watched it last night, but then I remember you said, have you seen any Sean Baker films? And I hadn't. And you mentioned The Florida Project. And then 2 days ago, somebody else mentioned The Florida Project. So I thought that was the universe's way of telling me I need to watch this movie. So I watched that last night instead of Anora. Man, what a one of the coolest films I've ever seen. I don't know how he did that, Ben. Tell me why you loved it so much. And then I want to tell you what really blew me away about it. Yeah, let's look that up. I'll find out. Right.
years ago, yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah, he has that, a lot of sex worker stuff, as I understand it, in his movies, but... Right. Saw that. Okay. Or I saw that was one of his films. Yeah. Okay. So I'm with you. I love that I didn't know anything about this film really. And then it was all this kid stuff right away. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And the focus stayed on the kids. Is that true, Conrad?
Yes.
Hey, Ben, we're having a technical issue on our end. Can we call you so we get you on the phone? Would that work? Let me get a number you want to give me. You could type it right on the stream, or you could just call you on your cell. That totally works too. Sorry about that. Okay, perfect. Good catch, Con. It's just been me talking for the last 4 minutes. Right, that's great radio. All right.
No, it's not. It's not anything on your end, Ben.
All right, so we'll call Ben. Ben, you can hear me, so I'll start my explanation. Yeah, the kids. It kept going with the kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh! But then you get so engrossed. But yeah, they are so good. The kids in this film are like, it's almost like he was recording them and they didn't even know they were part of a movie. That's how good it was. That's how good the dialogue was. That's how good the actors were. And yeah, you're right. The character's name was Mooney. She was like the lead character. And that scene of her close to the end where she's just bawling. My God, it was heart-wrenching. And then where it went from there, Ben, without giving a spoiler alert, if people want to watch the film, I kept waiting for something terrible to happen because of the neglectful parent. But oh my God, just love the way it ended and just such a great film. Do we have Ben? Con?
Not yet.
Are we having phone issues too? You gotta be kidding me. Do we have phone issues too?
Yeah, it'll be fixed momentarily.
Okay.
I will still call him.
Stand by, Ben. If Ben is willing to drive here, we will stay on the air. It's only a 2-hour drive. Ben Reiser is our guest, sort of. We're having a technical issue that the K-Man is working. He ran to the car to get the tools, and he's going to fix that momentarily, and we'll have Ben. But we got to do a commercial anyway, so this is we're off to a good start. Ben, thanks for your patience. Hang tight. We're going to do the news. We'll come back, and hopefully all of this will be cleared up, and we'll talk about some Oscar movies with the very engaging Ben, not Reisel, Reiser. It's Pete Schwabe at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans have introduced legislation that would require state employees to return to their offices. The bill would require all state employees and workers at the universities of Wisconsin system to return to the office by July, as many continue to work from home. Governor Tony Evers has expressed opposition to forcing a return to the office, saying remote work allows state agencies to hire the best candidates from anywhere in Wisconsin. Employees who were allowed to work from home before the pandemic would still be allowed to do so. Prior to the policy being blocked by a federal judge, the Trump administration's pause on federal assistance left Wisconsin officials unable to access Medicaid. In their announcement of the policy, the Trump administration said the freeze would not affect Social Security and Medicare programs, but states across the country lost access to the online portals for those programs on Tuesday. White House officials said they were aware of the portal outage, but no payments had been affected, and they expected the portals to be online soon. The weight limit on a Dunn County bridge has been reduced following a routine inspection. According to highway officials, the Tainter Lake Bridge on County Highway BB in Cedar Falls showed signs of deterioration in certain steel structures during the inspection. As a result, the weight limit on the bridge was reduced from 45 tons to 20 tons, and new weight limit signs have been installed. Officials say the bridge will be monitored yearly, and if the deterioration continues, it could be evaluated for a replacement project in the future. Barron County officials have announced there will be no criminal charges filed against the drivers of two cars that hit a man while he was moving a deer carcass off the road. The 75-year-old man who was killed had hit a deer on Highway 8 in Barron County in November. While moving the deer off the road, he was hit by an oncoming SUV and a truck with a plow. When authorities responded, he was pronounced deceased at the scene. District Attorney Brian Wright said neither driver was impaired or violated any other traffic laws. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lady Gaga is not used to getting bad reviews when it comes to her music or acting. That ended big time when Joker Folie à Deux was panned by critics and audiences alike. Gaga put things in perspective in a recent chat with Elle magazine, saying people just sometimes don't like some things. She sounded unfazed, though, continuing that fear of failure is worse than actual failure, and if it takes over, can cause mayhem. Don't you hate it when your parole officer puts the kibosh on you hosting Saturday Night Live? Martha Stewart sure does. She whined to the perfect audience on The Tonight Show starring cheerleader Jimmy Fallon about how she missed her opportunity to host the show 20 years ago because of said parole officer. Maybe she'll get another opportunity since time has passed since she was convicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice, as well as an insider trading scandal. It's so stressful when rich celebrities don't get everything they want. Maybe she can cry on her equally as annoying BFF Snoop Dogg's shoulder. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and warm tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny, record warmth possible tomorrow, high upper 40s. Mostly sunny as we look into Friday, a high in the upper 30s. And staying mild as we look into the weekend, maybe a rain or snow shower. Current temp is 30.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will break down the litany of executive orders and memos. Also, what are your rights as a U.S. citizen if you get nabbed by ICE? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hi, this is Jenny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down. I bet you.
I think we've ironed out our few our little technical difficulties here, and we've got Ben on the phone, so I don't have to talk to myself for the rest of the show. Ben, are you there?
I think I am.
You're there. All right. We've got Ben Reiser on the phone. Is better than no Ben Reiser at all. So thank you for bearing with us.
I do my best work on the phone.
So I've got a lot I want to talk to you about, and now we've just squandered a few minutes, but I'll try to, before we get into the Oscar talk, Ben, I thought I saw recently on a Facebook post, you are not a fan of the choice to play Bruce Springsteen in the, is it Nowhere? The Radio Nowhere?
I don't know what it's called. That's not what it's called, is it?
Something Nowhere. It's about the making of Nebraska. The title just escapes me at the moment, but
yeah, well, it gets mixed up with the Bob Dylan thing, The Complete Unknown. It's something like that.
Deliver Me From Nowhere. That's it. Okay. So what are your issues? Do you think it's a bad choice?
Yeah, I think it's a terrible idea to do a Springsteen biopic, especially with somebody like that Jeremy Allen White, who should be doing, this was my joke. You know, I'm not a comic writer like you are, Pete, but I said, what's the matter? Nobody wrote a script about the making of Silver Streak?
Oh, because he doesn't.
Jeremy Allen White, to me, is like Gene Wilder's son. Certainly right. Not anything to do with Springsteen.
I've heard those rumors that he was actually Gene Wilder's grandson, but I think they've been debunked, but that's a great joke. And you're right. He does look like him, but do you not like him as an actor, or do you not like him in the role of the boss?
I think he's like a bundle of tics and quirks.
Okay.
That eventually get on my nerves. But I will say that after hate watching the first two seasons of The Bear,
yeah,
I kind of liked the last one that everyone hated.
I'm noticing a pattern with you, because you were like that for Joker Folio 2 as well.
Yeah, did you ever catch up with that?
I have not. Now I have so little motivation to watch it because time has gone by, even though I'm still curious.
All over Max. Don't you have Max? What else are you going to watch?
I have Max. I just got to
understand this. You had time for Den of Thieves 2, but you couldn't give Joker Folio 2 a little peek.
Well, since we're splitting hairs, Den of Thieves 2 got better reviews, at least on Rotten Tomatoes, than Joker Folio 2.
That's your source?
That's my source. You know, okay. Love it or hate it. But I'll get to it. I am curious because there are people that are ardent, you know, they kind of dug their heels in on it, and you being one of them, who I respect, so I will definitely check it out. But let's use that to transition to A Complete Unknown. Now I feel like the bar has been raised, because I really liked Complete Unknown. There's no mm-hmm. bigger Springsteen fan than me, and maybe you, but I really hope they do nail the Springsteen film. I love the Nebraska album, but those are big shoes to fill. You liked Complete Unknown?
I did like Complete Unknown. And I grew up the son of two Brooklyn, New York hippies who dragged me to Pete Seeger concerts all through my childhood. Joan Baez I saw live many, many times.
Oh, wow. No
I kidding. Have seen Dylan live. Although, of course, by the time I was old enough to enjoy music with my parents, they were off the Dylan thing, you know, because he had gone electric. And
right. They were purists, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I will say that my mom saw the movie before I did, and she's the one who convinced me to go see it. She loved it, so.
That's interesting. I was talking about this the other night. My folks are and just turned 80, and they didn't really listen to Dylan back when they were in college, but they really liked the movie. Like, it's just a good movie, whether you like Dylan or not. I think it's really good storytelling, and I love how they focused on, and that's what gives me hope for the Springsteen movie. It's just a part of his life. I don't like those movies where they start at birth and right. then they see him in a rocking chair at the end and remembering his life. This was just a really well done film. Do you think it has a chance to win Best Picture?
Maybe.
Yeah.
What are people saying is the odds-on favorite now? The Brutalist?
I think that's what I've heard. I think, yeah, maybe Wicked, but The Brutalist. I've heard that the most, but who knows, right?
Yeah, but you make a good point about biopics that choose their time period carefully and don't try to do like the life of. The one that I remember really liking in recent years was the Judy Garland one with Renee Zellweger.
Oh, what was that called?
Which is really just about a very specific week or two in her life where she's doing this live show in London, and she's preparing for that.
Yeah. And it's like the SNL film where it's leading up to the first. I think that kind of stuff interests me, although I haven't seen
that one. Did you see that film?
No, I haven't seen that one yet either.
I've heard nothing good about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the circles I travel in.
But you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Okay.
I think it just landed on Peacock or something, so maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah.
This week.
I saw it last night. It was on there. I was really struggling with what to watch last night, but you told me when we talked earlier, we text swapped, that you'd seen The Brutalist twice. That's like 10 hours of your life, Ben, already.
Right. I was in New York for the holidays, and it was playing in 70 millimeter. And when something's in 70 millimeter, I can't resist.
Right.
So I grabbed my sister and we went to see it, and I thought it was okay. But then my wife hadn't seen it, and she wanted to, and it came here to Madison recently, and it was playing in IMAX, which is another thing I sort of can't resist.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let's do it. So I saw it last night again in IMAX. Still not a huge fan of the movie.
Okay.
But it's all right.
All right. It seems like the people that don't like it, you seem kind of lukewarm on it, but I've heard people really not like it. So once again, you're bucking the trends. You don't love it or hate it. Ben Reiser's right in the middle, which I haven't seen a lot of.
The movie that people really seem to despise that's getting a lot of attention these days, awards-wise, and apparently you only made it through half of, is Amelia Perez.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that film?
I mean, I sort of half-watched it a month ago on Netflix. I mean, I don't mean half-watched it like you. I mean, I was sort of multitasking while it was on. But I didn't hate it. I thought the songs were crazy in a fun way, and it had some energy to it, but I don't know. Conclave bugged me more.
How so? Tell me about Conclave, what your thoughts are.
I was loving it, or not loving it, but sort of certainly enjoying it. And then that third act twist, to me, comes out of nowhere, and I'm like, wait. What happened to the movie I was watching? This is a whole other movie, which might be a great movie, but not the movie I was watching, or I didn't think so.
Okay, that's interesting. To me, the twist at the end kind of took it to another level and made me like it more. Like, because I was like, well, this is kind of interesting how they choose the Pope. It's good acting. Yeah. I grew up Catholic. I was somewhat invested, but then I was like, oh, okay. And so I don't know. I liked it. But in Amelia Perez, and I talked about this a little bit last night too, like, I don't know how you can multitask and watch that, because I started it. It's got like it's got subtitles. Half of them are italicized in lyrics and the dialogue is under that. And I'm like, I am so lost. Like, I'm trying to keep up with what's being said or sung. And because when I read about it, a cartel boss who wants to do a sex change, I was like, oh my God, this sounds fantastic. Like, I have to see this. But it's kind of strange look to it too, Ben. But I'm told it gets much better as it goes on.
Yeah. I think once you figure out what's going on and who you're supposed to be caring about or paying attention to, it probably does get better.
Oh, well, and 13 nominations. I'm definitely going to stick with it. I want to see what the fuss is about. My guest is Ben Reiser. He works for the Wisconsin Film Festival. He is a director, manager, one of the top dogs. We haven't figured it out yet. And he also, tell us about your podcast, Ben. That's kind of a cool thing you got going there.
I've got two. One of them is called 70 Movies We Saw in the 70s.
Yeah.
Which is me and a sort of rotating group of friends. You could be on it if you want.
Sure.
Talking about a movie that was released in the 1970s, and theoretically at least one of us saw in the 1970s.
That's kind of a cool concept. I like that.
Yeah, and we're up to 55, so I only got 15 left.
Oh, wow.
And then the other one I do every week is called Lifers. It's more of a music-based podcast with the guys from the band Local H, which is a sort of a post-grunge or grunge band from the 90s.
Okay.
I think we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
There's a song Bound for the Floor that people know.
Nice. All right, Lifers.
We're still doing it, but we talk to people every week about their careers in music or other entertainment areas. And these are people who stuck with it, whether they're making money with it or not. They can't stop.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know what I'm talking about. So check out the those podcasts. I love the 70 movies you saw in the 70s. That sounds fantastic, and both of them sound great. But what did you think of A Real Pain?
I really thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a lot funnier, but I don't know that I'm upset about the fact that it wasn't, because it really, I kept thinking it was going to be like Zach Galifianakis road comedies, you know, younger generation.
It never would have been nominated if it was, probably.
Right, but Kieran Culkin is the new Zach Galifianakis.
Interesting.
But it's not that, really.
Yeah.
Instead, it's talkier and more serious than I thought it would be. I didn't hate it, but I was kind of like, okay. What about you?
I liked it more than I thought I would. I thought it was going to, when I saw it was a comedy, I'm like, come on, that can't be right. And then I watched it, and it was, but there's some nice serious moments. Both those actors are really good. I thought Jesse Eisenberg could have drew a nomination just as easily as Kieran Culkin, but and I thought
Eisenberg is great.
Yeah, and I thought Kieran Culkin was kind of very similar to his character on Succession.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really did enjoy the film. Can we segue just for a minute? Let's stay with the Oscars. Okay, so who do you think of the films you've seen, who would you give the big prize to at this point?
I'd give it to Anora.
Okay, now I gotta see that. All right. Is that good, huh?
Yeah, but I also don't love any, and that was the closest I came to thinking, oh, this is great. Everything else on that list, I don't think there's any. I didn't see Wicked, but of all the ones I've seen, there's nothing that I hated, but nothing that I really feel all that passionately about.
I thought you and I had talked about Wicked, but I guess not. But I thought that movie was pretty entertaining, top to bottom. But I don't. It's not like if I had to watch one of these films again, I don't think that would be the one. Mm-hmm. It might be a complete unknown, but again, like those actors, like Edward Norton was really likable as Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
But I don't know that any of those actors, aside from Chalamet learning to sing and play the guitar and all that kind of stuff, which is pretty admirable and cool. I didn't think any of them had like killer performances. Like there was a ton of drama or whatever, but, you know, I don't know.
I thought the guy who played Albert Grossman was very funny. He's kind of stole
Dan
the movie.
Dan Fogelman. Yeah.
Do you know him?
Well, just to deviate for a second, my partner Greg and I sold a script years ago to Warner Brothers, and we're like thinking, oh, hopefully they'll get Ben Stiller or someone. And they're like, if we get Dan Fogelman, we're making this year. And we were like, who? Like, just to show you how Hollywood works. Nobody had heard of this guy, but he was on Broadway and he was getting this buzz that couldn't be controlled. And we're like, okay, whatever. And then I saw the guy like 5 years later on an episode of Fear the Walking Dead as a minor player. But now he's all over the place. He's obviously a really talented guy and they knew something, but I think they got ahead of their skis a little bit on his fame. But yeah, he was very good and a complete unknown.
I'll tell you what I kept thinking about all through that movie when I wasn't enjoying it. I mean, I was enjoying it, but I also kept thinking, boy, I bet somebody's going to see this and think we need to make a Green Day biopic because Chalamet looks more like that Billy Joe Armstrong than he does.
That's great. All right. My guest is Ben Reiser. We're going to come back. We'll have a few more minutes after a very short break here. Ben, can we talk some David Lynch when we come back?
Sure.
All right. Fantastic. I've got questions. Ben Reiser's here. We're having fun. It's Wednesday night in the middle of January in Wisconsin. What could be better? This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. With the fat diamond ring. Then you know I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find. If I met you, let my eyes caress you. Until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime.
93.5 The Tap.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself.
Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tappel Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I love our listeners. Like, when we were having those technical issues before with Ben, we got so many calls and so many texts just letting us know. It was so great. And they asking if they could hear it on the podcast later. Thank you, everyone, for letting us know. Sorry about the inconvenience. But we've got Ben and we've got text. Steve from Florida says, "The grandpa who played Dracula in the 60s show, The Munsters, and the manager, Reuben Kincaid, on the 70s show, The Partridge Family, as curmudgeons." That's great. Annie from Watertown.
Al Lewis. Grandpa Al Lewis.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Annie from Watertown says, "Florida Project, such a good portrayal of life in Florida. Florida deserves its reputation. Much experience back in the 70s. I said they shook the U.S. and all the creeps and crazies fell down there. The life of kids in motel life, one step up from homeless, druggy parents, so on point." And then Annie says she dropped several F-bombs. And then said, "Nick Offerman is the best for curmudgeons." And she asked if we call her Nancy because she texted so many times as Annie. No, you're always Annie to us, but thank you very much. All right, we got a few more minutes here with Ben Reiser. Ben, David Lynch passed away. I, weirdly enough, have seen a lot of his films, but I think at the age or the point in my life when I saw them, I didn't fully always understand what was going on. I thought I had seen Mulholland Drive. It's oftentimes, or I've heard, one of his best films. So I watched it last week, loved the first hour, and then I was lost. I was looking it up on Google going, "What the heck is going on here?" Tell me your favorite movie of his and help me out with Mulholland Drive, if you would.
Well, I can't help you with Mulholland Drive. I mean, your premise is wrong. There is no age where you suddenly understand David Lynch's films.
That's fair.
They're famously unknowable. They're a vibe.
Yeah.
You know, they're a waking nightmare, and you muddle your way through it, and you leave with feelings. But I also watched Mulholland Drive again this past week, and I was supplementing my viewing with, like, looking at people's theories, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't think that's right."
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I did. That's so funny. But then again, like his, I love the picture he puts, you know, like I watched Twin Peaks too, a couple weeks ago, the first, the pilot or the 2 hour episode. And I noticed every single shot and how beautiful and set up it was and meticulous he was about that. So I can't say he's one of my favorite filmmakers ever, but what the heck do I know? But
I remember seeing Blue Velvet when I was like, I don't know, 17 and being like, whoa, what the heck? I think Eraserhead's the only one I've never seen.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was going to say that was the first one I saw when I was growing up in the 70s in New York. And maybe this is one I have to cover on the podcast.
Oh,
Eraserhead
for sure.
was one of the first and most famous of the midnight movies that they would only show it at midnight in like Greenwich Village. And I saw it at midnight when I was a kid, and it changed my brain.
All right, well, I'll check it out for that. But I always forget that The Elephant Man is one of the films he made, and right. I was fighting back tears when I left the theater as a 14, 15-year-old kid, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this person existed, and the movie was brilliant. And then you get into Lost Highway and mm-hmm. What's the one, Wild at Heart, and they're just kind of fun watches, but I can't really say I totally understood what those were either, you know.
Yeah, Inland Empire might have been the last theatrically released film. For me, though, and I know I'm not the only one who thinks this, whenever he did that final season of Twin Peaks The Return, the Showtime season.
Right.
That was 18 episodes. And for me, that's Lynch at the end of his career somehow summoning up the previous 40 years of his artistry and pouring it all out over the course of those 18 episodes.
Wow.
So people ask me, if people say, I've never seen any Lynch, or I've only seen a little bit of Lynch, where should I start? I mean, I guess you can start anywhere and you should probably watch everything. But for me, if you just watch Twin Peaks The Return, you're sort of getting some of everything he had done before.
That's interesting because I haven't seen that and that's on my list. So I'll definitely revisit that as well. So you haven't seen Den of Thieves is what I'm hearing. That's the takeaway from this conversation.
I just haven't seen the new one.
I'm sorry, Den of Thieves 2, yeah.
Did you go to a theater and see that, or is it on the old streaming?
I went to a theater, Ben, a noon showing in Marinette, Wisconsin. I was the only person in the theater. So I whipped out my phone like I was at home in my living room, which is kind of a drag. That's why I go to the theaters, so I ignore my phone. But, yeah, it was all right.
Okay.
It's a good
heist film. I like the first one. Yeah. Jim Healy and I were talking about going to see the new one. We just didn't get around to it. I don't think it's still in theaters here.
Interesting. Okay.
I wanted to see the new Steven Soderbergh Ghost Story movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked to see how many theaters it was playing at here and when I could see it. It's playing like once a night in Madison.
Oh,
crazy.
Really? That's not a good sign. Soderbergh should be crushing there. Hey, this was fun, Ben. I'm sorry about our rough start, but always fun having you on the show. Love picking your brain, and I will see Joker Folia do the next time we talk. That is my vow to you.
Don't worry about it. Go see the rest of Sean Baker's movies.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that as well. Yeah, thank you, buddy. All right, have a great night, Ben. We'll talk soon.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Conrad, we didn't even get to the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I blame you.
Sorry about that.
I would like to thank all my guests. It's always fun having Ben on. Great to have Frank Hermans in the studio. Thank you for all your texts. I honestly loved all these texts. It was like, we can't hear the guest. And Annie dropped several F-bombs. She said, I tried to go by Pete's side, but nada, because trying to call. So thank you for your calls, you guys. And thanks for sticking with us through it. This has been a fun show. Thank you very much. We'll have Rick Overton tomorrow night, Chris Opper, and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. And we'll have other opportunities to talk to Ben about the Wisconsin Film Festival. It's still a couple months away, but we've got a lot more Nightlight coming up tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Always love when you guys participate in the show. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, this is Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. While signing the Lake and Riley Act into law as this migrant crackdown rolls along, President Trump signs an order to use Guantanamo Bay as a migrant detention facility.
We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo.
Cuba calls the plan an act of brutality. The White House Office of Management and Budget walks back a memo that ordered a freeze on federal grants and loans. It sent organizations and agencies that received federal dollars into a tizzy, trying to figure out if they were losing funding. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi says even with the memo rescinded,
the White House is saying that they are still moving forward with the federal funding freeze. That means that Trump's goal of really rooting out any of these, quote, pet projects within the federal government that do not align with his